Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. My guest today is Julio Matos from Elon University, and we're so glad to have him with us today. Thanks so much for joining us, Julio.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you are new to Elon in the position of chair. Is it chair or coordinator of musical theater? What is your official title?
I am the director of music theater.
The director of music theater. Wonderful. So first, we always like to get to know the person before the program. So if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and sort of your training and career that led you up to Elon University, especially since you're so new there, we'd love to get to know you a bit.
Sure. A little bit about me. I'm a native New Yorker, but I grew up in Miami, Florida, and I studied music when I was in junior high school, a young person, and I wound up getting my music degree at Florida State University. Was music education major first, and then I was accepted to the Bachelor of Music Theater program. So I did that, and then I worked for many years. I worked in New York, regionally, internationally, and wound up going back to get my master's in directing from, started at Columbia University and then finished it at Penn State. And I've been teaching, directing. I call myself a theatrical entrepreneur because much like the training that we offer students now, you have to be able to be multi-hyphenate. You've got to be able to do multiple things. And so I'm fortunate that I work as a director, choreographer. I work as an educator. Occasionally as a performer. I'm a writer. I published a book called The Professional Actor's Handbook from Casting Call to Curtain Call. And I am new to Elon University and I'm having a blast.
Wonderful. Let's talk about that book a little bit then. So that is for professional actors?
Yes, it's geared towards seniors transitioning from student to professional. So it's got the basic information there about resumes, headshots, all of that, but how to make it stand out. Because my experience working in New York was that everyone that was coming in was just as talented as the next person. But what made those people who were working work, and those people who were not working, what were they not doing? And so the book caters to really, I mean, the very first chapter is about defining your USPs, your unique selling points. And it's just branding. It's another way of talking about branding. But and then we talk about who has your career so that you have a really clear vision as to who you are and what you're presenting when you step into the industry.
Wow. Talk to us a little bit about that career in New York that you had as a director or your time in New York before you got into collegiate theater.
Sure. I didn't move to New York for 5 years out of college because I was afraid. First of all, I had no business doing music theater. I didn't know what it was, I wound up majoring in it, and I worked regionally for a while. Moved to New York, and my first tour was Kiss of the Spider Woman with Cheetah Rivera, and that started off my career. I moved to LA for a while, but kept doing musicals out there. So I thought if I'm gonna do musicals, I might as well go back to New York. And so I got to work with a lot of Broadway legends, Gwen Verdon, Anne Rankin, Faith Prince, Bebe Neuwirth, all the leading ladies. And I got to be, my trajectory was I wanted to be part of history. So I took jobs that didn't so much feature me, but allowed me to work under these great artists and directors and choreographers and alongside people who are now at the forefront of the industry. And in Blankenbuehler, just fantastic people. So yeah. And then when I started directing, mostly regional theater, and choreography as well.
So the position that you're in now at Elon just opened up recently, and what was, this will be a unique question that I don't get to ask most people that are here, but what drew you to Elon? Normally I'm asking people to tell me what is going to draw students to Elon, but what drew you to Elon?
Well, Elon obviously has that reputation of being one of the top 10 training programs in the country, but And I didn't apply for the position. I was someone reached out to me, and I just did my research. And I say, obviously, the students are fantastic, but I'm a teacher at heart, so the students everywhere that I go are fantastic. I think the difference is that the faculty is very interested in moving us forward, not only in getting students working, but getting students to transform the industry. I'm very much about what is the next thing. And we were talking about one of my colleagues, Brian Kremer. He wrote a book on training the trans voice. So it's very much where is the industry going? Not only what are you stepping into, but how are you going to help shape and mold the next generation of musical theater? So that's what excited me.
That's great. That's great. And Brian's book is incredible. I've recommended it to a few of my students as well that have come through. So you certainly have a panel of experts there on your faculty in different areas of the performing arts, and that's wonderful. So when students are at Elon, you know, you obviously have your role as director of the musical theater program, but when do students actually get to work with you? Which classes do you teach and what are you responsible for?
Right now, I teach the sophomore level 4 acting class, which is the performance in musical theater. It's the first time that they introduce singing into the acting. So that's my course. The students get me as a sophomore. The students have me as a senior for the senior seminar course, which is where we're working on polishing our repertoire book, preparing for the agent casting director series. And we go through a weekly mock audition every week, a different type of audition, so that they're prepared for the spring when they begin to audition professionally. My goal is to create a fundamentals in voice and movement course, because the students at Elon and my experience around the country, students know how to sing, but they don't know how to speak. They're not being trained well enough. And that's a foundation to sustaining a career in this industry. I mean, we with the advent of reality TV and all that talking on the vocal cords, it's just something that we have to get in place. So that's my goal.
Absolutely, that vocal fry. I tell my students I will throw my shoe at you if I hear you do that. we've already sort of touched on this a little bit in your previous answers, but. Talk to us about some of the highlights of the program, some things that Elon may offer students that they may not find at other programs. What's the big draw for Elon? Why do you think it's one of the top 10?
Having gone through the audition circuit this semester, we have several things that make this program stand out. One, there are opportunities for students who have high academic standards to participate as an Elon Fellows or a college honors program. So that's a lot of the students are very interested in sustaining their high academics in a program. And we're a liberal arts training program that feels like a conservatory. So students who want both can have both. We also have a large number of our students who either double major or have one, two, sometimes two minors and a double major. So they're able to do two very disparate careers sometimes. Sometimes they want an arts administration degree with the music theater degree. Sometimes they want a dance minor, a photography minor, jazz studies minor, sociology, Spanish. So they get to nurture themselves holistically, which is really important because we want actors who can bring something to the stage other than a musical theater performer, but what is the human being that's behind that person? And we have really strong, we are part of a department that has a strong dance area, strong acting area. So students often come in thinking they're musical theater performers and then find out that they really love the Shakespeare, the television, and that's more of what they're going to study. Some of them want to do more dance, and some of them take vocal pedagogy. They take more music classes. So there's a lot of space in the curriculum to create a degree that supports your goals and ambitions.
I always tell my students that regardless of which degree you're going for, an acting degree or a musical theater degree, everyone's a storyteller first and everyone's an actor first. I hear you mentioning and talking about your musical theater students by calling them actors instead of MTs like we hear a lot of. So would you say that Elon's program is very acting or actor-centric first?
I would say actor first, strong dance foundation. We just hired a music director slash composer, and we are revamping the music curriculum as well because that is not at the same level. The classes they can take are at the same level, but it's not in the foundation of our program. Mm-hmm. But we do say, even the our dance person, Deb Leamy, she's looking for storytellers. The way that she and I worked in New York, we were not, I mean, she's a much stronger dancer than I am, but I remember being called one of the strongest dancers in New York when I was working. I thought, no, I just act like I'm one of the strongest dancers. You just have
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is my training. I mean, I don't want to say we're actors first, but it is, like you said, we are storytellers.
So when a student then starts as a freshman, can you sort of walk us through the arc of their training, freshman through senior year, what they experience their first year, and then what the goals are each year after that?
Sure. The first year, they're taking their first level acting, their private voice study. They're taking this course called Elon 101, which is training them how to be a student at the university. So it's nurturing them through the curriculum, learning how to survive, which is really, really important. What else are they taking? They're taking their foundations in dance. Plus, we tend to register the first year students in an additional dance class. So they are understanding that we want them to be taking a lot of dance. And second year, they start their music theory. They start their, actually, no, the music theory is in the first year. The piano is in their second year, and they continue with the acting. They have acting for 4 semesters. Junior year, they're starting to take music theater history, music theater literature. So they're getting the 300 and 400 level, the upper level courses. But they're also taking a lot of electives from the second semester of their first year. And so holistically, it's about foundation, awareness, practice, and then implementation. And then at the end, we're polishing them up. So understanding what it is that you are bringing to the industry. The senior class that I teach is a senior seminar 1 course, which is preparing them for the industry. But then the culmination of their degree is an agent casting director showcase, which is really unique because instead of going to New York to do a showcase, we bring the industry folk to Elon University to spend 10 days with the students, getting to know them, working with them.
So it's a full 10-day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to credit my predecessor who started this program, Kathy McNeela. That's a tribute to her. She founded the program, and she does this very unique showcase that seems to be working.
Yeah, I often hear students say, "Oh, but Elon doesn't have a New York City showcase, so that's not as that's not as much of a payoff as these other programs." But it's actually longer than a week that these agents and casting directors are coming down and working with students. So it's more than just a 2-hour showcase that they're seeing. Can you expand on that a little bit more and just sort of tell us sort of, you know, do you have a success rate of, you know, how many of your students are leaving with an agent after their senior year?
This year, because this is the year I can speak from experience that because of COVID, obviously we didn't fly the agents and casting directors to us, but we had 5 weekends of 2 and 3 days per weekend where they were working specifically all day with an agent or a casting director. So every day they had one person, they'd do their audition for them, they'd have interview portion, and then in the evening they spent an hour and a half having a Q&A with them, getting to know more about what their thoughts are about the industry. So not only are they auditioning, but they are asking questions. So we did that for about 5 weekends. And then we added another couple of panels of agents. We had a day where we had three agents. We had the casting director from Disney do a session with us. So we actually expanded it. It really, again, I've taught at four other universities before coming here, and I think it's exciting to do a New York showcase because you're flying to New York and you're doing that 45-minute showcase twice, and then you're hoping to get a nibble. But it's the students here do a 54 below performance. So if they want to go to New York and have that experience, they can. Pedagogically, it just makes more sense the way it's done here.
I think it's a wonderful and unique experience that they just get more time in front of the agents and things, and the agents and casting directors get to know them a bit more through that. So bravo to that. I certainly love that. And I want to dispel those rumors that, Elon doesn't do a New York City showcase, so it's not worth the time, but that's just silly.
Yeah,
Well,
if you
let's
look at
chat.
our, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but if you
Go
look
ahead.
at our, we're highlighting our seniors right now on Instagram, on our social media, but 14 of our seniors have received representation already. So
Great.
they've all signed with an agent. And
Yeah.
some of the others have other options, other plans. We don't, I'm hoping to shift the culture a little bit because it's not about getting an agent. It's about being prepared to work in the industry and sustain yourself. And so I know that it's not urgent that students have an agent to work, because we have a couple of students who booked work and don't have an agent. But it
Right.
really is just, it's just another part of being a working professional.
So while they're at Elon, what are the performance opportunities like starting with their first year?
They start in their first year with this thing called a, we have two Everybody Dance performances, one in the fall, one in the spring. The fall is called Collage, and the spring is called Grand Night. And the first year students participate in both of those. The first year students also audition in the at the end of the fall semester for the spring musicals. So it's possible that they can start performing on main stage in the spring. We also have many other student-led groups. We have The Moment, which is our this fall it was our first all-black cabaret. We have a junior showcase. We've got Elon Cares, which is a fundraiser, and then the university has two additional. It's beyond the department, but there are other. I don't want to say drama clubs, but other ways. Students are always generating their own work here. We had a film of our spring musical that they put together, Grand Night, and it was they filmed it, they choreographed it, they staged it, they costumed it, they do everything. So they're learning how to be theater makers, not just musical theater performers, but how the industry functions. What does a producer do? How do you organize this? So they have to be stage managers as well. And then we have three musicals, main stage musicals a year.
Great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Tons of performing opportunities there. You spoke also briefly about, how Elon encourages minors and double majors and things. And you also spoke about the opportunity to take several electives. So what are the opportunities at Elon for the students to really have control over sort of crafting their degree to some extent, either through the minors or through the extensive electives?
Again, that's a testament to my predecessor, because the courses that they have to take, the required courses, are much fewer than what I've encountered at other institutions. And this is meant so that the student can, as you said, craft their own degree. If they want more dance, they can make that happen. If they want more acting, if they want more music, if they want all of it. If they want none of it and they discover that they are going to be moving more into the business area, they may start taking more business classes. We recently had an alumni panel, and one of our students is an agent now, and talked about how he discovered that early on. He crafted his degree to get more of the classes that were going to help him in that area, and spent a couple of summers doing internships. And that is also part of the curriculum. You get student credit for that. And so making sure that he spent time in New York working with professional casting directors, that was really important to him.
Mm-hmm. Now, I actually don't know the answer to this next question, so this is a genuine question. What about a minor in another performance area? Is there anything that's off limits as far as a minor or a double major? Just because of time, or?
I don't know. Like, I just found out that the students can minor. We have one student who's coming in and they're very interested in music production. And so I reached out to the music department and they said, yes, we've got a minor in music production. So I haven't encountered any no's yet. I just keep hearing, yes, sure, sure, which is like really exciting.
That is a very exciting answer to not get a no to that. That's awesome. And talk to us a little bit about, you've mentioned some alum here and there. Talk to us about some notable alum or possible faculty that you have.
See, that's going to be, I'm going to direct you to the Elon website. Actually, you know what? I'm lying. I can tell you right now, because I was working on this today.
Oh, good.
Elon Notable Alums. We have Kennedy Caulfield, who just debuted on Law and Order. We've got Tony Award nominee Daniel J. Watts, who is starring in Tina on Broadway. Nasia Thomas just did last 5 years at streaming. We've got people on TV, Bridge and Tunnel, an epic streaming with Barrett Wilbert Weed. We've got people who are writing shows. Dan Gibson, Beast Mode Champion, just premiered. And then, you know what? I can send you this list. But we update the Elon alumni site in the spring. So actually in the summer, we'll be doing it in the summer, but the students are working and we encourage them to work not only in on stage, but also, you know, the exciting thing is to start shaping the industry as well.
So since you are also new to Elon, what about Elon, the town of Elon? Talk to us a little bit about your first impressions. It's certainly not a bustling metropolis, but it's a beautiful area. What are some things to do in that area?
Well, I tell students what I've been doing during the when I'm having meetings with the accepted students who have been accepted to PACE in New York or CAP 21 or have been accepted to other programs in large cities. It really is about what do you want your college experience to be? This is a this is not a commuter institution. The students here live on campus or in the area. So this is really about, I want to have the college experience. I want to live on campus. I want to see what it's like to hang out with people who are not in theater. There isn't, from what I know, much to do in Elon. I live in Greensboro, which is 35 minutes away. And then Raleigh-Durham, which is another 40 minutes on the other side of town. So there are larger cities that students can go if they want to get away. It's really about what are you looking for? I tell students, if you're going to go to New York and be distracted because you're in New York, maybe that's not for you. But if you're someone who's very focused, then that could be a really great thing. And we've lost students. I've encouraged students to go somewhere else, students who want to grow up in a different way. Mm-hmm. But our students here want to have the college experience, and they're going to be working 24/7 on their craft in some way. Our students are also very much dedicated to their education as smart people and as artists.
Yeah, New York City will always be there, and it will still be there in the same place in 4 years from now as it is right now. So, I mean, I went to school at Juilliard, and I certainly know there were a lot of bright, shiny distractions for me. And at times it was hard to make the right decision when it came to what I'm being distracted by there. So going a place where you can really focus on your 4 years is important to a lot of students. So let's transition now into the auditioning and the audition process for Elon. You did things a little differently this year because of COVID, in that you didn't have sort of live auditions per se. You watched the performances on the pre-screens and then invited them back for an interview for the second portion of that. Can you speak a little bit to that and how that worked for you this year?
I mean, I think it worked wonderfully. We are actually having a postmortem soon to talk about what worked and what do we want to continue doing. But it helped level the playing field in a way, because financially we took away the cost of having to travel to the institution. I'm very connected to other institutions, and we were very early in our strategy for having auditions. So we knew right away, we have an 8-person team. We have 6 faculty members and 2 staff members, and everybody had a say into who we interviewed. So they were the first process, the second process, the third process, and then we decided who we were going to interview. We didn't need to hear any more, because if you have potential and if you're trainable, then you are going to be well served at our institution. But the interview is really important, because it's a matter of chemistry. It's a matter of what are your educational goals. If you're looking for something that we know we can't give you, no matter how great we are, we're not the right place for you. So that's important for us to find out from the interview who you are, what are your goals, what are some of your non-negotiables, and also have you been around the world a little bit more. It's really important that for us to have students who've been outside of their community, because you're going to be growing up, and you're going to be growing up with people who may think, look, speak differently than you do. And we want to make sure that what we are creating is a safe space for people to ask questions and be themselves and explore and define who I want to be. Mm-hmm. So that those were all really important, the important process for us. And then we would send our rankings, and then unlike a lot of other programs, I don't choose, the team chooses. And that's how we went from 1,458 students to right now we've got 14 committed students, and we're hoping for 2 more.
Wonderful. So you 1,458 applicants, and how many did you quote unquote call back for an interview?
I think we called back, I want to say 100 in the fall and 100 in the spring. Mm-hmm. I don't know why those numbers are feeling right. Brian is the numbers person. Brian knows every number for everything.
Ballpark 100 is fine. Okay. So, and you aim for a class of 16 incoming MTs. That's amazing. That's really great. And I'm glad to hear you say that, you know, you're talking about what worked and what didn't work. And I loved, one thing I did really love this year is how many doors it opened for students that wouldn't normally be able to get an opportunity to do this, because the cost of auditioning for these programs can really be limiting. And Elon, I know, you know, pre-COVID, never participated in any of the Unifieds or any of those other group auditions like that. So students had to go to Elon, which is a blessing and a curse for many of them, again, for the cost of it. But the blessing side was you got to experience the campus. So it's really great to hear that so many schools are really opening their eyes a bit to other possibilities. So I hope that the virtual piece, just speaking on behalf of my students, I hope that the virtual piece is at least an option moving forward, because I think so many great, talented students just fall through the cracks.
I'm glad to hear you talk about that, and I'm hoping to establish an ongoing relationship with you, because I do want to know about your recommendations, because you are there with the students. I know that we don't do recruiting. Like, we say we do recruiting, but a lot of schools say that we don't do recruiting. The students come to us, and part of of my work, at least when I worked in New York at City College, it was about going to the high schools and telling them we existed and giving them workshops. And so we went out into the communities to seek the students that we were looking to welcome. And I want to say this, that as excited as I am to be here, we are not fully prepared to welcome all students. We don't have socioeconomic diversity because funding is very limited. We are working on that, but it's the one thing that I've spoken to the administration about, and we just don't have that right now. We're also ADA compliant, but I don't believe that we are. I feel that we are not. We're doing better than a lot of institutions, because I know a lot of institutions say how great they are and how welcoming and how diverse, and they've got all these programs. But again, and I'm going to step out there and say this, I know that most programs are not built to welcome the students they are seeking. I know that we are not able to take care of 100% of the needs of our non-binary students, of our African American students, of our Latino students, are just, but we are aware of that. And this has been always my mission as a performer. And it's, I'm, thank you for allowing me to be outspoken about that, that we are going to do everything we can to make your experience the most positive, knowing that a great many institutions are not there yet.
I am so excited to hear someone at Elon say these things about diversity and inclusion, not just, racially, but socioeconomically and the like, because I get so many students to me, come through my program, and I only serve between 50 and 60 students a year, and I do that just because it's me, and I want to make sure that it's mostly me working with the kids. But just to my 50 and 60 students, which is a very small cross section of the auditioning pool out there, I have so many students every year that cost, not only of the audition process, but of course tuition eventually is a big barrier. And there are some kids that are blowing it out of the water with their talent, but and then the best offer they get back from a school is $45,000 a year, and that's crippling. I mean, sure, it's easy for them to say go ahead and take out a loan to cover that, but that's impossible. That is just impossible. So great to hear you say that, and I'm really excited to see what you do with the program there and what you're able to accomplish. You spoke briefly about during the interview process that you wanted to hear that these students were well-rounded and citizens of the world and not just musical theater dorks. Sorry, but I use that word all the time. I always tell students, you're not just auditioning for a musical theater program, you're auditioning for the role of a student they can stand to be around for the next 4 years. So could you tell me a little bit more about the qualities you're looking for, both artistically and just them as personality-wise? What makes an ideal Elon candidate?
I want to start by reminding students that you are being interviewed, but you are interviewing us. I have one student who we're hoping to get here. It's a matter of finances, but he put me through the ringer, and he was grilling me, asking me questions, because he needed to know, are you really going to serve me in the way that I need to be served? So make sure that you are asking questions as well as responding to questions. I'll tell you what I went through when I interviewed here. The biggest question I had is, what is the energy? What do I know, we need to know about you all that makes you unique? And what they responded was that we're all weird. There's something weird about each of us. And then I was like, yes, I can relax, I can breathe, because I can just be my quirky, weird self. So don't be afraid of showing us who you are, what your quirks are. If you've got learning disabilities and you want to share them with us as a director. I'm looking to make sure that the people on stage represent the people who are watching. So it's not about commenting. Like, we don't need to know that you are legally blind, but we need to make sure that we have a space for students who have those needs. I've had legally blind students in the past in different institutions. And so it's just a matter of, I want students to bring all of themselves. I want to change what the industry works so that it's not just the same prototypes, the same people, but it's really representative of the community in which they are performing. If you can't see yourself up there, then I think we've wasted your time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that answered your question.
It did, and I love the answer, because I think what, you know, listeners of this podcast now, I think you're going to be the 12th or 13th episode. I think the listeners of the podcast are going to come to realize that talent really just opens the door. It's who you are as a person. There's tons of kids out there that can kick their face and that can, you know, belt the ceiling off a room. But, you know, it's really being more well-rounded and being an individual that gets you into these programs, especially these top-level programs like Elon. So I'm glad to hear you say all these things. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, curiosity is big for us also, because we had a lot of people who they were stars in their videos, but in our interview, and again, the interview is a callback. If we get an interview, that means we think you're right. Your talent is where we feel we can develop it. And we had students mm-hmm. who have trained for 12 years, and we had students who, because we had a two-tier system, students who didn't have all of that on their resume, but demonstrated the potential, because we want to make sure that we're equalizing things. But then when we interviewed them, that's your callback. That's your chance to just relax and just talk. And we could tell that some of them, although they had the talent, they weren't curious. They wouldn't be well served at our institution, because you've got to be hungry. You've got to want information to thrive at this institution.
Mm. So, new person at the helm, what are some exciting things coming up at Elon that we can look forward to?
Like I said, we hired one new faculty member who's a music director. She works regionally. She is a music, she does music technology. She's going to be teaching a course called The Actor Musician for those students who play instruments, because that's really, a lot of our students play instruments, and that's a great way to create a parallel career. We also hired a second director choreographer, Alex Warren, and she has her own company. She does dance, she does choreo plays. So we've got two new faculty members. What else do we have? We're doing a really major curricular overhaul. We're looking at what works, honoring the foundation that has been created, but also looking at what do we need to do to take us to the next generation, the next stage of musical theater training. And so we're adding more on camera. This year we have tons of on camera workshops. And so we're hoping to get an on camera course into the curriculum, so that right now the students have to fight with the BFA actors to try to get into the courses. Well, we need more on camera. We need content creation. We need courses in choreography so that they can be the creators of theater and not just the doers. Leadership is really important. Our women have said we need to see more women in leadership. So we had some producers, a four-person, all-female producing team, do a two-day series of talking about producing and your own work. So it's we've got a lot of things happening in addition to the musical theater training.
That's wonderful. So to wrap up today, how can students and parents who are interested in Elon get some more information?
Your first point of contact is our auditions and interview coordinator, Kimberly Rippey, K-R-I-P-P-Y at elon.edu. kripy@elon.edu. She is your first point of contact. From there, she will direct you to our outreach coordinator, and we do a weekly virtual session, one-hour session, where we provide information and then answer questions for parents and students. That happens every week in the fall. And then the recruitment coordinator, who's Brian Kremer, and then finally, I am available. Students can contact me. If they contact me about something that needs to start with Kimberly Rippey first, I will forward it to her. But if it's something that I can answer easily, it's important to take a chance and reach out and just form connections.
Wonderful. Well, Julio, thank you so much for joining us here today on the podcast, and I look forward to working with you many, many times in the future.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You have a great day.
You too.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.